Hey everybody, what is going on? Welcome to RotoWorld's DFS Pick 6 presented by RotoGrinders. I'm Eric Crane, and I'm joined by a couple of my friends, the guys who win the money every week, Rich Rebar, Evan Silva. Rich, what's going on?
Oh man, what's up guys? It's going good. You know, hopefully everyone got fat over the holiday. Pockets, that is. You know, you can loosen the belt a little bit too, but you know, here we are in week 13 already.
It is flying by, man. Like seriously, like I think we talked about this last week, where it's just like insane. It seems like just 2 weeks ago we were all, you know, it's week two. We haven't done many shows together. I didn't know you. You didn't know me. Now we're a family. Everything's beautiful. Evan Silva, what's going on, man?
What's up, man? What's up? Love that Thanksgiving slate. I mean, all of our kind of under the radar dudes hit. Bolden was, you know, the nut play. Had a lot of Cousins. Gave a lot of it back on Sunday, and you know, gonna try to get it back. Trying to get all that I gave back this week. I think it's gonna be a good week. There were just a lot of guys last week that were in really, really good spots that were terrible. And that's like we made that a segment on this show, so we'll talk about that soon.
Yeah, I enjoy that we have a segment on this show completely dedicated to everybody that pissed us off last week. we should add like a seventh segment where you say family members that you did not enjoy spending time with. Just everybody that pissed us off last week. We'll go ahead and talk about that.
There's nothing like doubling down.
Yeah, let's go all in, guys. Let's party. All right, first game, we got the Chiefs and the Falcons. Atlanta, 3.5 point total, 3.5 point favorites, a total of 49. Julio ticked a lot of people off last night, at least the people that decided to go contrarian with Julio. Pat shot him down, so you got to give him some props. But this week he gets the Chiefs. And I know, Evan, I know you love picking on this Chiefs defense.
Yeah, well, I mean, six of the last eight quarterbacks that they have faced have finished inside the top 12 fantasy quarterbacks. The only exceptions have been Andrew Luck, who finished number 14 and should have been higher than that, but he had a bunch of plays called back. And then the other one who didn't finish inside the top 12 was Derek Carr in a weather-affected game in Oakland where it was really windy. I do like to attack the Chiefs defense, specifically with wide receivers. And Julio Jones' price is absurd on FanDuel this week. He's 700 less than Odell and Antonio Brown. And I think that if you were just going to rank them, you know, on a one-for-one basis, I mean, I don't think Julio would be I think he might be above both of those guys this week.
I can't believe Julio is cheaper than Mike Evans.
Yeah, yeah.
come on,
and,
guys.
And the Falcons have been really good about attacking opposing the opponent's weaknesses all year. I mean, we saw it in that Denver game where they used Tevin Coleman specifically to attack the Broncos' inside linebackers and man coverage. We saw it last week. They funneled 17 targets to Taylor Gabriel, Justin Hardy, and Mohamed Sanu, kind of let Julio Jones, you know, suck up Patrick Peterson and attack the middle of the field against Arizona. And on those 17 targets, Gabriel, Sanu, and Hardy combined for 14 catches, almost 200 yards and two touchdowns. So, you know, you think back to the Philly game, that was a Julio game, you know, attacking the bad cornerbacks for Philadelphia. So, you know, Shanahan this year is taking kind of a Belichickian approach to, you know, looking at his opponent's weaknesses and attacking them specifically. And I think that the weakness for the Chiefs defense is very, very clear because they do not move Marcus Peters around, and Julio Jones should get a lot of snaps against Philip Gaines and Steven Nelson or Kenneth Acker or, you know, whoever the Chiefs are going to trot out as their, you know, second and third cornerbacks this week. So I think this sets up really nicely as a Julio game.
Yeah, and the thing is, even if it's not a Julio game, I kind of expect Sanu or Gabriel to pick up some of the slack there. Rich, are you going to be on Julio this week?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, first of all, we're not scared about Marcus Peters or a guy like Julio Jones anyways, but, you know, 46% of Julio's routes are at the left wide receiver, while another 27% come from the slot. So, I mean, you're basically getting two-thirds of your routes, not even naturally, you know, against Marcus Peters. So he's going to be on, you know, the Ackers, the Gaines, the Steven Nelson's the role, like Evan said. And when you look at some of the receivers, what they've done just from the left side and the middle, where they caught passes. I mean, Cooper had 9 for 126. Michael Thomas, 8 for 90. Manny Sanders, as we caught, 6 for 154 and a touchdown in the left of the middle. A-Rob, 6 for 72 and 1. Cooks had 5 for 40, 1 and 1. You know, D'Antonio Brown had 3 for 60 and 2 on the left or middle. So, yeah, it's definitely a Julio week. And I do like Sanu, too, as like an ancillary guy in this game by default over the other guys that just won't be on Marcus Peters. I like Matt Ryan a lot. I feel like, you know, by default of people just naturally wanting to go to Julio, he'll have some stack ownership. But, I mean, Evan already mentioned the quarterback situation, what guys have done against the Chiefs. And not a lot of great passers have touched them up, too. I mean, we saw Trevor Siemian last week, Cam, Bortles. All those guys were in that smattering of quarterbacks that put up top 12 weeks on them, too. And Matt Ryan has been quiet the last 3 weeks. You know, he's at Philadelphia, had the Arizona game, was on bye. So he's kind of out of people's minds a little bit. He hasn't been hot. But I think it's a great game to get back on the Matt Ryan train.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, I mean, and the thing is about Matt Ryan, I think if people are going to be spinning up for quarterback this week, I know he's 6,800, but they're going to go to Drew Brees at 7,600, who we'll talk about. Matt Stafford at 7K. I don't think you're going to see any ownership on Ryan at 6,800.
Yeah,
definitely. Awesome tournament play. I'm going to guess that he's like 6% or less.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, so the only thing that will naturally pull him in is everyone's going to be on Julio. So for tournaments, he'll get tagged along.
You know, I hear people say stuff like, well, I don't need Ryan. I'll just get my exposure through Julio. And I'm always like, well, why wouldn't you just take both? Like, if Julio's going off and having a massive game, Ryan's probably going off too. And the thing is, like, when they decide they're going to throw it to Julio every play, they really air it out to Julio. I love that correlation. I think it's pretty easy to get Ryan to Julio. On the other side, we got the Chiefs. I've heard some Travis Kelce talk, but he pisses me off every time I play him and also every time I don't play him. Evan, what do you think of this Chiefs side?
Yeah, I mean, Kelce stands out, though. You know, he's got over 100 yards in 3 of his last 5 games. Like, you don't see tight ends do that very often. The last 3 tight ends to face the Falcons, Jermaine Gresham, who never has a big game, had a pretty big game. The Eagles tight ends caught 7 passes against the Falcons, and Cameron Brait had one of his better games. Love attacking these rookie linebackers for the Falcons in coverage. I mean, the Cardinals did it last week with David Johnson and Jermaine Gresham. And this week, I think it makes a lot of sense because the Chiefs refused to use Spencer Ware voluminously in the passing game. It makes sense for the Chiefs to attack these rookie linebackers for the Falcons, specifically with Travis Kelce. Jeremy Maclin did return to practice today, which kind of puts him on track to play. We'll see. I think that if Maclin plays, that will take a lot of ownership away from Kelce. At the same time, maybe makes Kelce not as strong of a play. But, you know, the Falcons, they have faced a league-high 42 pass attempts per game. So they are scoring points. They are forcing their opponent to throw the football against them. And, I mean, this game has shootout potential in the Georgia Dome. And if it does shoot out, I mean, you know, I would expect Travis Kelce to be one of the beneficiaries of that.
And of course, other people are going to be chasing another guy on the Chiefs offense, Tyreek Hill. Rich, what do we make of this guy? It kind of came out of nowhere. Everybody said, oh, this guy's got potential. The last few weeks, he's just been crushing it. I mean, are we chasing points if we play Tyreek Hill, or is it just a good play?
Slightly with Maclin coming back. I mean, he's been too good to, I think, put back in the bottle, though, completely. I think that they're going to have designated packages for him and opportunities to get him the football. And we saw him get, you know, a jet sweep carry, you know, inside the 5 last week. You know, he's a guy that already has been involved in the red zone a little bit. You know, he was the guy that snaked our touchdown against the Steelers, and we all were on Jeremy Maclin that week. But I mean, the target volume is just the potential problem here. Like, we know the Chiefs have such a shallow, you know, wealth of passing targets to share. So, I mean, if you're giving them to Kelce and we've got Maclin involved and now we've got Tyreek Hill, like, there's just not a lot to go around there with Alex Smith. Like Evan said, they might throw it 40 times this week. They might have to. So, I mean, that might just naturally, you know, push it up there to him being a good play. But I think a lot of people are going to be on him. He probably is going to be a guy that probably isn't going to make a lot of my core builds there.
I mean, I just don't want to play Tyreek Hill. I feel like he's going to be popular. I know he's good, but anytime a guy like kind of comes out of nowhere, has a couple big games, you know, I know he's good, but golly, I just think he's going to be so popular, Evan. I don't want to play him.
Yeah, I mean, understood. I mean, he's a legitimately good player. But this may be the week, especially if Macklin comes back, to let the field chase him and, you know, you to move elsewhere.
All right. Anything else we need to touch on in this game, or can we move on?
Let's move.
All right, let's check out the Giants and the Steelers. The Steelers, 6-point favorite, total of 48.5. And I can't help but think, when I look at the overall quarterback situation this week, that Ben Roethlisberger at 7,400 is just going to get completely lost in the shuffle. Rich, what do you think of Ben this week, and do you think he's going to get overlooked?
Yeah, I think, well, this game is really interesting on a lot of levels. I mean, we always like Ben at home anyways. And you look at he's thrown a touchdown pass once every 16 passes. That's fifth in the league. But the Giants have been a legit, very good pass defense. I mean, they're allowing a pass touchdown once every 46 pass attempts. That's the best in the NFL. Both of these teams are really ramped up getting after the quarterback. I mean, you look at the just recently, they're both in their first and second in sack rate the past 3 weeks. So, I mean, there's a lot of weaponry here, but both defenses have kind of legitimately been, like, pretty good, definitely above average. And the Giants have been real hot. You know, since week six, they lead the NFL in sacks and third in takeaways. I mean, I don't think they're going to force a bunch of turnovers against the Steelers. But they actually are getting what they pay for this offseason out of that defense. Yeah, I mean, you know what you're getting from A.B. and Le'Veon, though. I mean, A.B.'s had fewer than 15 PPR points just twice. He's got 5 touchdowns over the past 4 games, 3 games of multiple touchdowns on the season. Le'Veon is basically money in the bank. He leads league in yards from scrimmage per game. He's missed 3 games and has 57 catches, which is, you know, tops of all running backs. I mean, you kind of know what you're getting. I think Ben's going to be more of a tournament guy only for me because I kind of think the Giants are like legitimately a good defense, but I definitely want Ben exposure at home. It's kind of like when, you know, just Breeze is at home, you're going to want to get a piece no matter who they're playing.
Yeah, and I think people might look back on Monday and go, oh, yeah, Ben at home is a thing. I completely forgot about that. What do you think about Ben, Evan?
I agree with pretty much everything that Reeb said. You know, I think that the Giants are legitimately good defense. I was surprised that they didn't let Janoris Jenkins chase Terrell Pryor all over the field last week, and Terrell Pryor went to work specifically against Eli Apple, the rookie corner that they – insist on playing over Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, even though DRC is much, much better than him. I mean, they use a first-round pick on this kid. You know, they're playing him, but he's getting whipped. And Todd Haley is really good about moving AB around to get him matched up with the opponent's weakest cornerback. I think we will see a lot of AB against Eli Apple this week. And while I have a lot of respect for the Giants defense, I have a lot of respect for their run defense and their pass defense. I still am going to have some Steelers onslaughts with, you know, with Ben and Le'Veon and AB. And I think that the tight end is really, really interesting this week too, Ladarius G. He is not getting a lot of snaps right now, but he is running a route on every single play that he's in there. He's played, I think, about 40 snaps so far for the Steelers, and he's run a route on 90% of them. So if we can get like 20, if we get 30 snaps out of him this week, and he's going to run a route on like 27 of them, I mean, he's a threat. He's a serious big play threat. We saw that against the Colts. I think he had like 14 routes in that game, and he came out of it with almost 70 yards. The Giants, we know that they can be had by tight ends, and Ladarius G is really cheap, and he is, I think, an awesome tournament play, especially in the Steelers onslaught lineup.
Now, I know you love Jesse James, so does this hurt you to have to kind
of – Whoa. I don't love Jesse
you
James.
You love Jesse right? James. I don't want to hear it. It seems like you recommend Jesse James every week, I think.
No, that is not true. I liked him early in the season.
You're just sitting there with a Jesse James bobblehead sitting there next to you. Man, I love you, my friend.
he's blocking at this point. He's a blocker. Ladarius Green is a wide receiver for the Steelers now. Eli Rogers took a back seat last week. He was only in on 50% of the snaps. So I think that, you know, what they are trending toward is, you know, AB is obviously their one. Le'Veon is pretty much their two. And I think that they want Ladarius Green to be their three as they sort of, you know, head into hopefully the playoffs.
Yeah, and I think it's possible, Rich, that, like, people are going to be about a week late on finding out about Ladarius Green. Like, I think that he might – if he has a big game, and then people are going to be like, oh, yeah, it's a good spot. I think people are going to be a week late with him. You think this is the week for him to come back to us?
Possibly. I mean, I think people were trying to figure that out 2 weeks ago against the Browns, too, before weather might have pushed him off. I mean, yeah, the snaps are just what's worrisome. I mean, you can't really play him in cash. I mean, he's only, you know, 12, 8, 14 snaps. It's really hard to latch on to anything there, even with the matchup. But, yeah, I mean, he's a punt play and a really good offense and a quarterback that's really awesome at home against a defense that has exploitable linebackers. So, I mean, you know, what more is there to be said about, you know, playing him at min price?
Yeah, for sure. And on the Giants side, of course, we know we'd like to attack Pittsburgh through the air. And we got Odell sitting there. Sterling Shepard is very interesting to me this week. Victor Cruz, not as much. Rich, where are you going with this New York Giants passing attack?
I mean, the only guy I really kind of like is Odell. I mean, you know, he was targeted on a season high, 41% of his routes last week. They're starting to move him around. He's got 8 touchdowns over his past 7 games. He just has 2 100-yard games on the year, though. And the Steelers have only allowed 6 touchdowns to wide receivers. It's the same amount as Denver. But, I mean, when you look at the individual matchups, the Steelers have been getting good play. But, like, are you, like, really worried about Odell Beckham on Artie Burns, you know, Ross Cocker, William Gray? Like, I mean, as good as they've been as a unit, like, I'm not going to talk myself out of Odell Beckham because of those guys. You know, especially with the upside Odell Beckham provides and then with them moving him around. So, I mean, I'm in on Odell. Eli, I like Eli, is that he's been really ramping up the touchdown production. He's got multiple touchdowns now in 5 of his past 6 and 3 or more in 4 of those games. But they're still not coming in big fantasy scoring games. I mean, he's topped just 20 points twice over that span. I mean, you look at Sterling Shepard. He hasn't gone over 50 yards since week 2. And the Steelers really, their individual components aren't great against slot guys, but they haven't given up any big fantasy games to slot guys at all on the season. So, I mean, Sterling Shepard was nice when he was getting those, scoring those touchdowns those 3 weeks in a row, but he was still masking, you know, a lot of really, you know, really ancillary, you know, type yardage and catches.
I just like Sterling.
Yeah. Do you, Eric? I, you know, there were a lot of guys that were big busts last week. And I mean, I think that, like, one of the least surprising was Sterling Shepard. He hasn't topped 50 yards since week 3. I don't know. I was surprised to see people complaining about him. Like, they were playing him. You know, he wasn't that good of a play. I mean, I think he's a guy you could talk yourself into because he was facing the Browns. The Browns have given up a lot of production to slot men. But I mean, it's not like he was some great play last week. And it certainly didn't help that Eli had his fewest pass attempts of the season. You know, so that's going to happen to a complimentary receiver like Sterling Shepard. I don't think that he is in a squeaky wheel situation like Brandon Cooks or maybe even Antonio Gates. You know, he's a rookie. They didn't throw the ball a lot. He didn't get the ball, and that's how it goes, rookie. You know,
know your role. Right. Yeah, and the thing about, I mean, you mentioned that Eli didn't end up throwing as much the other week. This week he's going to be throwing. Should be airing it out. All right, so
he's going to be dropping back. He might be getting sacked a lot.
Yeah, that's a good point. You fire up that Pittsburgh Steelers defense. I don't hate that. All right, here real quick. I think this just takes a one word answer, but I'm going to ask anyways. Rashard Jennings?
No.
All right, and we can move on now. All right, Oakland to Buffalo. Oakland 3-point favorites, total of 48. And just looking at this game early, this is my favorite game of the week because we got Oakland and Derek Carr and Amari Cooper who just burned everybody last week. And they are in equally as great of a spot this week. And everybody's mad at them. Nobody's going to play them. And Rich, I saw you shaking your head. We might get the Carr to Cooper combination at 2-3% ownership.
know, I love this game. I mean, first of all, the Raiders are just fun. Like, they play the most fun games every week. Like, I just want to watch the Raiders games every week. So they're the most entertaining football games, first of all. And they score a lot of points. They give up a lot of points. So, I mean, I like the Bills guys, I think, might go overlooked as well. I mean, I absolutely love LeSean McCoy again this week. I mean, you look at his past six full games. He's averaging 130 yards from scrimmage, 25 PPR points. He's got 8 touchdowns. He's faced a truckload of good defenses over that span. You know, Arizona, Seattle, you know, the Rams and Patriots were good at those times that they played him. You know, and then you look at Buffalo, no matter what the game script is, they're going to keep running the football. I mean, they've thrown the ball just 55% of the time while trailing. That's the lowest rate in the league. You know, the Raiders can be run on. You know, we saw even Jonathan Stewart actually break a 50-yard run on them last week. So, I mean, I love LeSean McCoy again. I love Tyrod, the spot for, like, seasonal leagues. But, like, Tyrod's just not a guy I ever really own a lot of in DFS because his ceiling is kind of his floor. They're kind of just very similar. Mm-hmm. So, he's just not really a guy I play a lot. But he's got 15 or more points in 9 of 11 games. I was interested in more, you know, Watkins before the news kind of broke today that he was having some foot soreness, you know, because the Raiders give up a lot of splash plays. I mean, their cornerbacks are guys that, like, grade out good on PFF, but they give up bad plays, you know, for every, you know, 5 or 6 great plays they make. They give up, like, a huge play. Yeah. So that's why there's not always a crossover. They give up a ton of yards in the passing game. So, I mean, I do like the Bills side as well. I do want to get Evan's take on the Cooper Crabtree situation because these dudes just haven't been playable together. They've had one game in the top 24 since week one together, and it was a game that went to overtime where they both got 15 targets. There's not a real clear play to me, though, this week between them, you know, between Stephon Gilmore and Ronald Darby. They're kind of both the same, giving up the same kind of production. I mean, do you have a hot take here on, like, which is the guy? Because it's been either or.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I always want to do the Derek Carr double stack with both of them, but that hasn't worked out at all. Because the target distribution is real shallow there, you know, but so far they have not had a big game in the same game.
It seems like it should work.
I know. It worked a little bit last year, but I think this game is interesting because, as Eric alluded to initially, I think that Derek Carr is going to have really, really low ownership. And the strength of the Bills' pass defense is their pass rush. But the Raiders can negate that. And I think that we're going to see – after Derek Carr left or dislocated his pinky or whatever last week, when he came back in, they were in the shotgun the whole game. The whole rest of the game. I think he's going to be, you know, wearing that glove in the gun this entire game. I think that the Raiders will probably struggle to run the ball in the gun. And he has a chance at like 45 or 50, I don't know, 50 is a lot. He has a chance at like 40 plus pass attempts in this game against Buffalo, protected pretty well, you know, against a Bills team that's coming all the way across the country. I mean, I think that Derek Carr is really, really interesting for tournaments this week. And obviously Amari Cooper, just because he burned everyone in an incredible spot last week. I mean, he's going to run against Stephon Gilmore, you know. And Stephon Gilmore, I think we all know that he's a talented guy, but he has given up the most yardage among the Bills' cornerbacks. We've seen guys have big games against him so far this year. You know, I don't, you know, it's hard for me to say. I think that both of the receivers have really good matchups this week. And it's hard for me to say that, like, one guy is definitely a better play this week.
Yeah. I mean, it's maybe this is the week the double stack works. Hey, if they're going to throw 45 times, they're going to combine for how many targets? 25 targets? Right. I mean, doesn't that sound about right?
I mean, the only thing in the way is that I think the Bills run the ball. I mean, that's the only thing in the way, but I like Evan's, you know, point about the shotgun, them not being able to kind of do what they want to do, you know, as far as balance goes in the run game, that could make things a lot tougher. I like that take a lot.
It could be a lot of like quick hitting stuff, you know, and I guess that would favor Crabtree more than Cooper, but I mean, they're also going to take shots with Cooper. So I don't know. Go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, yeah. I mean, if you're looking for like a road to maybe, you know, talking yourself into Cooper Moore, I mean, the average length of passing touchdown against the Bills is 30 yards. It's the second highest in the league. So, I mean, that's Cooper like all the way. I mean, out of his 9 career touchdowns, they average 38 yards. He's had just 2 touchdowns inside of 26 yards in his career. That's kind of what it kind of circles back to why he doesn't make like a great, like all in core guy play all the time, is because he's not a guy that can bail out bad games with touchdown production. You know, he's a guy that has just 6 career targets inside the 10-yard line, no touchdowns there. That's kind of what happened with Cooks, too. You know, if you're on with Cooper and Cooks last week, like, those are guys that don't save bad performances, you know, with a touchdown or two. And that's kind of what we run into.
Yeah, I still want a lot of Carter Cooper.
Yeah,
I'm right back to the well, baby. I mean, it's been good to me in the past, I'm not going to lie. So I want all the Carter Cooper I can have.
No doubt.
You mentioned McCoy. Evan, are you big on Shady McCoy too?
Yeah, I mean, Rich kind of talked about it. So, actually, in last week's game, the Bills really struggled to run the ball. But McCoy busted that long run to begin the third quarter. I went all in on LeSean McCoy.
Nice.
Last week, yeah, well, the rest of the guys I went all in on were not good. But,
hey, we'll just leave it at Shady McCoy, okay?
But So I was sweating LeSean McCoy watching that game, and he breaks this 75-yard run. I mean, that turns the day from like to yes, you know, that one play. And the Raiders have been giving those up. It wasn't just Stewart last week with the 47-yarder. It was, you know, Lamar Miller with the 33-yarder before that. Yeah, I mean, LeSean McCoy is always a badass play, and pretty much always doesn't have as much ownership as he should.
All right, let's go on to our fourth game. And speaking of a bunch of badass plays, we got Detroit at New Orleans. It's the Coors Field of football, I believe, is Evan. Didn't you coin that phrase?
No, Reeves did. Reeves did.
Sorry, Rich. My bad.
That's all right. I'll take it. Hey, listen, if it was on the show, we all did it.
That's a good – hey, that's a team effort. I like that. I'm just glad I get to be involved. This is great. All right. We got the Saints as 6-point favorites, by far the highest total on the slate. It's 53.5. And, guys, we might have missed the boat on Drew Brees last week. I think a lot of people kind of got cute, said, oh, Brees, yeah, we're fine. Brees at home, just play him. Rich, what do you think about Drew Brees this week?
Yeah, I kind of got like, ooh, it's Russell Wilson off that streak last week and just got kind of blinded. You know, I had some Brees ownership when he wasn't my main quarterback that I owned. We've attacked the Lions like all season, you know, and they've placed Sam Bradford and Blake Bortles in their last 3 games, Bradford twice and Bortles. So, like, it's kind of cooled down a little bit. But they've allowed opponents to complete 74% of their passes. It's the highest marker in NFL history through 11 games. Drew Brees, of course, leads the league in completion rate. He's going to carve them up, man. Like, he might throw, like sub 7 incompletions in this game. Like, really. Like, it's really, like, he can have, like, a 32 for, like, 40 game or, like, something like that. Like, easily, you know. So, I mean, yeah, Brees, I mean, you're going to pay for it this week at top price, but I mean, you know what you're going to get. You're definitely going to get the bonus on DK. You're definitely going to get your money's worth on both sides at home. I do like the receivers here. I mean, Cooks, you know, I forget who the writer was that highlighted that Cooks was basically bracketed, but basically the Rams made a concentrated effort to take him out of the game, and Drew Brees is definitely a quarterback that will let you take a guy out of the game because he'll exploit the holes you leave him. And that's kind of what happened last week. Like I said, though, with Cooper, I mean, Cooks is one of those guys, like, he's gonna leave you with some eggs, just the type of player he is. But with the price drop, I mean, I think you want to go back there. He had 7 for 88 in Darius Slay's coverage last year, so you aren't really scared. He had 10 for 124 total in that game, so you're not really pushed off there. I think Willie Snead is a really good play on Quandre Diggs in the slot. I mean, he's a guy that had 10 catches on them last year as well. And Michael Thomas is always in play. He's finally jumped Cooks. But, I mean, I think you like all those guys, man. Like, all the Saints, maybe. It's Coors Field.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I see. Like, when Thomas, Cooks, Snead. I mean, Evan, there aren't really any bad wide receiver plays in New Orleans this week, is there?
No, not at all. Man, I mean, I had a lot of Brees last week, but I had him all with Cooks, you know, so those were
I've
all
I've heard that story a few times this week.
Right. Reeves, can we use, or and Eric too, can we use Cooks and Cash this week? Because, you know, it the price drop makes it real tempting too. I love his price.
I'm awfully embarrassed to say that there's one receiver I'm considering in Cash in this game that makes me throw up a little bit because of his price, but it's not Brandon Cooks.
Can I guess who it is?
You know who it is. You don't even have to guess, but go ahead.
No, you're going to be on Golden Tate.
No, way worse than that.
Marvin Jones? Is it Marvin? Yeah, me too, man. Me too.
Oh, good. We can send each other texts later just crying.
I know.
This little crying emoji to say, oh, no, not Marvin Jones again.
Yeah, no, but his price on FanDuel, what's he at on DraftKings? His price on FanDuel is down to $5,600.
He's cheaper, $4,400 on DraftKings. I mean, what do you do? Like, what do you do with that price? We got a guy, he's going to see targets. He's been in some tough matchups. And all of a sudden, it's just like, how do you not play? Rich, please talk me out of Marvin Jones and Cash, please.
I mean, the only thing I talk to you about him is he's been terrible. He's just been a terrible player. I mean, like you said, he's had a lot of bad matchups. If you're looking for an out, he had the foot injury as well. I mean, the problem is like they're just like not geared as an offense to make him like really productive. Like they want to throw all this underneath stuff and they want to slow the game down because their defense is terrible. Have you ever seen a team slow the game down with the short pass? Like that's what the Lions do. I mean, opponents average the fewest possessions per game against the Lions. Now the good news is that the Saints should make them point chase as well. And Marvin Jones is coming off of the most targets he's had since week two. So, I mean, you can do a little target chasing as well. He had 11 targets in a tough matchup too. So if you want to talk yourself into it, I mean, the price is right. I mean, I don't think I'm going to go there and cash, but I mean, obviously he's an obvious game stack at his price though.
So the Lions are like Utah, right? And then the Saints are like, who plays the fastest?
That would be Houston.
Okay, yeah, Houston. So you this is kind of like Utah against – or the Jazz against the Rockets.
I right? load up on Jazz in that spot. I do. I'm just like, all right, let's take the pace up. Let's hope for some big plays, a bunch of threes. And I'm afraid that Marvin Jones might hit a few threes in this game, and it's terrifying to me. And, you know, here's the thing. I've been fading Marvin Jones since before the season. When he was having those big games early, I was sitting there watching the games. I'm like, the dude fell down and he caught a ball and ran 30 yards. Like, this is not a real thing with Marvin Jones. And I was on Golden Tate every week, and I was so happy when Marvin Jones finally fell back down to earth. And now all of a sudden I'm sitting here staring at this matchup saying, oh, God, maybe I actually have to pay the piper on this one and just pay for Marvin Jones.
Well, it's true that all that early season production was, you know, he had a lot of good luck, you know. I don't know. I'm tempted to play him, man, at 5,600 on FanDuel, at 4,400 on DraftKings, coming off an 11-target game in a really good, you know, in an up-tempo matchup. I think he's real tempting. But, you know, what Reeves brings up is that, you know, really his game or his role is just not suited for the way that the Lions want to play. Theo Riddick is in an incredible spot this week. This is a game where the Lions should be trailing. It is a game where the Lions are facing a Saints defense that has given up the fourth most receiving yards in the NFL. So I think this is a classic Theo Riddick week.
I almost think that on every team you do, whether you're game stacking this or not, you need at least one piece from this game. And you probably need one piece from every side because there are going to be so many plays because of how often these teams pass. I mean, it's just – I think you need to fire up – if you're firing up some teams, play Riddick, play Marvin, play Tate, play Thomas, Cook, Snead. Mark Ingram, there's a guy. Reeves, what do you think about our boy Mark Ingram this week?
Yeah, before I jump into Ingram, let me piggyback off that Riddick takes. Like, Riddick's a dude that, like, he was, like, neon signs me this week when I made my first pass. So the past 3 weeks, the Lions have trailed for just 43 of 179 offensive snaps. You know, that's just 24%. 58% of Riddick's catches come while Detroit is trailing. And like Evan said, you know, Saints are allowing the seventh most receiving points. The backfield is a game they should chase. I think that Theo Riddick's a guy not a lot of people want to own, even on a site with full PPR like DK, because he's, you know, at 58. because people don't think he offers, you know, the kind of ceiling, you know, for that price. But, I mean, he's a guy that has a lot of top 5 weeks in a season. So, I mean, I think he's a guy that could push double-digit catches this week, you know. And yeah, they use him inside the 10 in the passing game a lot as well, you know, off of rub stuff. So, I mean, I definitely love him.
Yeah, and he's a guy that can catch it even if they're dumping it off to him 50 yards from the end zone. I mean, he's got the speed and the moves to get into the end zone from 50 yards out. It's not like it's a, well, they're not going to run him between the tackles inside the three thing. All right, that's fine, whatever, but they do. And then also, he can catch that ball and just go. All right, talk to me about our boy Mark Ingram.
Yeah, Mark Ingram's really good, but the Saints don't know it. I think they know it, but they don't care. But I mean, if you look at because what the Saints are doing now is working. So that's why I don't think it's like really going to change, you know, because coaches are like that. I mean, over the past 6 weeks, the Saints lead the NFL in rushing. They're third in the NFL in rushing yards per game over that stretch. Since being benched, you know, in that Seattle game, Mark Ingram now has carried 47 times for 382 yards, the 8 yard per carry average. Tim Hightower has carried, nine more times than him for, 154 fewer yards, you know.
Can Tim Hightower just go away?
I wish he would, but he keeps like being fantasy relevant because he gets all these, you know, he's getting touchdowns and getting splash plays, catching 50-yard bombs from Willie Snead. He just won't go away. I mean, Ingram played 57% of snaps last week. That was his highest since week four, though. So, I mean, maybe it's turning. I mean, I definitely would way rather play Mark Ingram than Tim Hightower. And I think he's a guy that people will be on, though, by default based on what he did last week when they're stacking this game. But I mean, I think he's in a good spot again. I mean, we were talking about Mark Ingram, like that last week is why you play him, even when he has some down weeks, because of the offense he's in at home and the amount of touchdown upside he carries weekly. He's a guy you just kind of always want to sprinkle into tournament exposure.
You know, another guy who's going to be completely unowned this week and could also have a big game. I know he hasn't been getting the snaps. Evan, you're about to slap the hell out of me right now. I know. I see that face too. But do you know who it wouldn't surprise me? We never know what Sean Payton's going to do from week to week. Josh Hill, he's been getting a lot of snaps, but you know who might bounce back for us this week? You know the answer. Kobe Fleener, come on!
I'm envious of his hair. He's got beautiful locks. He, you know, I don't know. I mean, I can't do it. You know? I can't do it, Reeves. He's a guy who he really, because he plays so few snaps, and he really doesn't. I mean, he doesn't see a lot of targets either. He does play on passing downs
and in the red zone,
but yeah, he needs a touchdown to help you. Because he's not getting a lot of targets and having like 90-yard gains, you know. So if he scores a touchdown, he helps you, and if he doesn't, then he hurts you. And you know, I'm trying to look for more stability. I mean, I'm willing to pay down for guys like that, you know, like if I can get a dude at near minimum who kind of fits into that, you know, into that category, I would be willing to use a guy like that, but. You know, at his price, Kobe Fleener, he's tough. But I mean, hey, he's the ultimate tournament play. He's going against the, you know, the worst tight end defense in the league, or a bottom three tight end defense in a likely shootout with the highest total on the week. So I mean, hey, if you play tournaments, you should probably have some Kobe Fleener exposure.
I love it. I love how you just tucked yourself into him.
or you could just use the Saints' number one tight end and get Josh Hill for much cheaper.
Fine. Yeah, $2,500 for Josh Hill. I expect him to be popular this week. I'm not sure he's a tournament option. Come on, Rich. I know you're going to be here with me, though, baby. Come on.
I wish this was just one guy.
Josh Fleener, Kobe Hill.
Josh Fleener, then that's cool. Because Fleener's snaps have dropped before, and they've kind of like gone back up like the following week. There's been kind of like really no rhyme or reason. So, I mean, I don't think he's very good.
All right. We'll move on. But I got to ask you guys, because you know that I'm going to use this opportunity to ask about my season-long team this week. Do I play Lance Kendricks or Kobe Fleener? Or am I going to lose?
Oh, Fleener.
Yeah.
Is it PPR league?
Yes.
Oh, then I'm going to play Lance. I mean, he's been a top 12 guy for the past 5 weeks.
Okay, well, thanks. That was very helpful. All right, let's talk about the bounce back players that screwed us last week. A lot of guys coming back. We got Julio Carr, we've already talked about. Russ Wilson is going to be the guy, though. When I look at bounce back players, boy, he was popular last week. Rich, I know you were very high on him.
Oh, God.
What happened to Russ, and is he going to save us this week?
You know, they can't pass protect, man, and it got exploited last week. I mean, he had no chance that entire game. Doug Baldwin in that game had a 1 yard A dot, an average depth of target, 1 yard. Like, they had no, I think he got sacked 8 times. That offensive line is just like they had us believing for 3 weeks, and they swept the rug out on us again, you know, and reminded us that, you know, hey, there's a solid heat check for you. I do think that they. Run into some similar problems again because Carolina has been rushing the passer so well. I mean, they got to be a little worried about that spot, that offensive line in that situation because Carolina's been getting after it. And Julio is the bounce back guy this week, I think, for sure. Like, he's the lock guy that I'm looking at. I think if you want to go, like, for a guy that's, like, disappointed for multiple weeks in that same game, I think this could finally be a week that, like, Greg Olsen is involved. I mean, he's averaging 6 yards per game the past 5 weeks. He's really been a guy that Carolina has used. These teams have played 3 times in like the last like 18 months. And like Olsen's gotten over on him. You know, definitely the past 2 games last year, he was really a big factor. And tight ends are still the way to attack that, you know, cover 3 defense. So I think that this could be a game, a spot where Olsen is like really not owned at all. I mean, I don't think you play him in cash just because you're paying up at tight end. But I mean, he's a guy I'm kind of interested in this week.
Yeah, I feel like my dollars won on Greg Olsen are so negative at this point that I just can't – that I have to keep playing because I've got to get back to even on my Greg Olsen dollars. Who's your bounce back guy this week, Evan?
I have a lot of them. I think Antonio Gates bounces back against Tampa Bay. You know, people will think that just by looking at the box score that the guard changed to Hunter Henry last week. Hunter Henry ran 9 routes last week. And Mike McCoy explained after the game that the Texans, who shut down tight ends, period, really, you know, actively worked to take away Antonio Gates, which resulted in like 14 targets for Tyrell Williams, you know, a monster game for Dontrell Inman. You know, these things tend to come back around, especially when the other players make the team pay. Like last week, we saw Michael Thomas and Josh Hill, the Saints' number one tight end, make the Rams pay for, you know, putting clouds around Brandon Cooks. We saw Inman and Tyrell and Hunter Henry make the Texans pay for trying to take away Antonio Gates. I love Russell Wilson as a bounce back as well. We talked about Amari Cooper. I think Melvin Gordon is in a really interesting spot. It seemed like he became really popular on like Saturday and like Sunday morning. I mean, just, you know, just like reading Twitter and, you know, talking with people, it seemed like people really jumped onto Melvin Gordon late in the week. And he wasn't very good last week. And now he goes back home against a team coming off an emotional home win, you know, going across the country. I think that Melvin Gordon, you know, as that high workload, high touchdown probability sort of guy is in a great bounce back spot. Larry Fitzgerald was a guy that, you know, especially when I saw that Desmond Trufant was out, I was like, man, you know, I want to get Larry Fitzgerald in a lot of lineups right now. And what happened in that game was that the Cardinals ended up trying to attack specifically Jalen Collins on the outside. And Jalen Collins really held his own. I mean, they made some plays against him. But, you know, they were not, you know, going at the Falcons with Larry Fitzgerald. And it was specific to that game. But now we're going to see Larry Fitzgerald in the slot against the rookie for the Redskins, Kendall Fuller, who has really, really struggled. So, you know, going back home, I think that this is a really good spot, I think, for Larry Fitzgerald. So, you know, all these guys that disappointed are in awesome spots this week. I mean, you could probably build a lineup with all those guys and, you know, get yourself some low ownership for guys who have a lot of upside this week.
I like the idea of these guys piss me off in week 12 lineup. Like that could be a lot of fun. By the way, I have to take exception to something you said. Kobe Fleener is the number one tight end for the Saints, right? He's the number one receiving tight end. How about that?
No.
No? God, you guys are just heartbreakers. I love it. I get you guys on and I ask you one question and you just answer the other sides. I'm just okay, next game. Let's go talk about some under-the-radar plays. Guys, you made fun of me before the show. We were talking about under-the-radar plays. Look at Evan. He's about to start laughing already. Did I like a cheap quarterback this week that I have loved to pick on from the other side? And I think it might be a – I'm actually going to say this on air. I think it might be a Brock Osweiler week. Go ahead. You can laugh, Evan.
I can't believe that you said this publicly. I thought it was like a pre-show joke, right?
No, I'm dead serious. We know that Green Bay's deep. All that Brock Osweiler wants to do is throw the ball deep. DeAndre Hopkins has done nothing all year. Green Bay can't cover him. I'm not quite as convinced on Will Fuller, but I think like if you were ever going to play Brock, how about that? What if I said it like that? If you were ever going to play Brock, wouldn't this be the matchup?
No, I mean you can get Tom Savage at a stone minimum, and he will outsnap Brock Osweiler in this game.
That's going to be really bad for me if Tom Savage outsnaps Brock Osweiler. Wow, I just said that out loud. Okay, that's an issue. By the way, Brock is almost stone minimum. Tom Savage, 5K. Brock Osweiler, 5,200.
That's pretty much all you need to know.
Yeah, really. You know how many good players I can get in my lineup if I play Brock for that price?
You're going to take like a 12 at quarterback.
He is the same price as Andy Dalton and Ryan Fitzpatrick. He is 100 more expensive than Tony Romo.
I guarantee you Ryan Fitzpatrick like smokes Osweiler this week.
Oh, we'll have a smoke. No, I don't want to bet on that. Never mind. I'm going to have – my betting on Brock Osweiler is going to be done in the Millionaire Maker. So I hey, you guys laugh. You will see me with 25 Brock to DeAndre Hopkins teams.
I kind of like Fedorowicz.
You always like Fedorowicz. Eric, new Jesse James.
That's not true, but I think that Fedorowicz makes some sense this week, and he's got a good price.
All right, what about under the radar plays for you, Rich? That maybe make more sense than mine.
Yeah, so my takes mostly is specifically geared towards DraftKings, which I usually don't. I usually drop FanDuel takes here, but I mean. I look at Vance McDonald, man. I mean, since week 7, I mean, he leads the 49ers in targets with 18% of team targets. He had just 5% of the targets prior to that through 6 weeks. He's had 6 or more targets, in his past 5 games. So it's a nice bet of opportunity. The Bears will be out without linebackers Danny Trevathan and Jarrell Freeman. Jarrell Freeman has been one of the best coverage linebackers in the NFL this year. I mean, you look at the recency now that the Bears have a lot of tight end to score in each of their past 3 games. I mean, I think that this is a game where the 49ers are going to force some tempo like they always do. Kaepernick, as we should call him, has just been balling. So, I mean, and Vance has been the best target there. I mean, he's 2,900 on DK. I mean, I look at that and think that that's a really good spot for a guy for the opportunity in the matchup. I think that he's a guy I really want to, get into lineups. He frees up a lot of space that's needed this week because we want to hire some guns this week.
You know, you brought up Kaepernick to Vance McDonald. What do you think of Kaepernick overall, Evan? I mean, he's 6,100 on DraftKings. I mean, is it time we start taking him seriously as a fantasy option?
Too late.
Is it too late? He's still cheap enough, though.
No, he's a machine. He is a machine. I mean, he's going to get 8 rushing attempts per game, 33 pass attempts per game. He's not going to complete a lot of passes, but he can hit deep shots. And he's, one of the best athletes on the field, when he gets out into space. And the offense will get him into space. And the offense gets guys open. This is a joke of a pass catcher core. And, I mean, they've had, like, serviceable – passing yardage totals with the easily the worst pass catcher core in football. Did Reeves mention that? I was looking at a Mike Zimmer thing. He might not be available. for tomorrow's game due to emergency eye surgery. But did Reeves mention that Jarrell Freeman and Danny Trevathan are both out? Yeah, that's big. I mean, that is huge. This is a defense that the Bears defense was built around these guys. You know, it's like Vic Fangio back in San Francisco when he had Patrick Willis and Navarro Bowman. That is big for tight end coverage. That's big for defending the read option. That's big for run defense, period. If you're not on the Kaepernick train, I mean, you might as well jump on now, because he is, you know, he's the machine engine in this offense.
Yeah, I sort of feel like I've been missing out. Like, I just sort of, you know, brushed it off as, okay, it's a silly Kaepernick thing. It's not a real happening. And then last week, I just kind of looked at it and I said, you know, maybe I'm missing out here. Like you guys said, Chicago's defense, I mean, they are a shell of their former selves. And 6,100 for Kaepernick. And like you mentioned, the tight end Vance McDonald, 2,900. I mean, you know, I know I talked about Brock Osweiler, but you play those two guys together, you can really get whoever you want on DraftKings. Cool. Any other under the radar plays? That was smooth, guys. Rich, any other under the radar plays that you like?
No, I think we haven't heard Evans yet, right?
Have we not? My guy is not as under the radar, but I'm not sure. I don't think people are going to use him this week, though. And it's Jamison Crowder, who has 85 plus yards and/or a touchdown in 6 straight games. People were talking about last week, oh, he's not getting enough targets. Then he has 10 targets against the Cowboys. You know, and this is an incredible matchup for Jamison Crowder. If you look at all the players who have had success against Arizona, it is all players of the same archetype as Jamison Crowder. Crowder runs about 75% of his routes in the slot. Last week we saw what Kyle Shanahan did, you know, using a bunch of slot receivers to attack the Cardinals. Justin Hardy, Mohamed Sanu, Taylor Gabriel, these guys all had, you know, performed above expectation. Crowder has been consistent. As I mentioned with the production, there have been only 3 wide receivers have scored touchdowns against the Cardinals since week 5. Jeremy Curley, Adam Thielen, and Taylor Gabriel. When you look at the Redskins pass catcher core, you know, who falls into that same sort of category, it would be Jamison Crowder. The Cardinals shut down tight ends. Like, it's unbelievable how they do this. They shut down Greg Olsen. They shut down Jimmy Graham until, like, he was making catches in overtime. I think he finished with, like, 50 yards. They shut down Kyle Rudolph. So even if Jordan Reed doesn't play, you know, I'd have some concerns about Vernon Davis. I think that this game suits Jamison Crowder perfectly, and the Cardinals will take away your running game. So, you know, lots of reasons to love Crowder this week, I think.
You know, I'm curious to hear. We got a couple minutes, and I want to have you guys touch on it. What do we do with the Patriots this week? I mean, we saw them in a similar spot the other week. Brady just went off. Blunt had 126 yards, I think. Rich, what do we do with this Pats offense? Because it's another one of those spots where they're going to score a lot of points.
Yeah, I mean, we go back to the Garrett, man. He hasn't scored in 2 weeks. The Rams have just kind of been a sieve against the run here recently. So, I mean, I want to go back to the Garrett. I think the Garrett performs when the Pats are, you know, favored by 10 or more points. He averages right around under 18 PPR points. I think he's going to get a bunch of carries at least in the fourth quarter of this game, if not during them stacking points. So I want to go back to him. I mean, he's the guy I feel the best about, you know, outside of, you know, Brady, of course. But
did you guys see this thing? I totally agree. Did you guys see this thing where Jeff Fisher doesn't know?
This
is the greatest thing ever, guys. If you haven't heard this part, you need to pay attention to what Evan's about to say.
Jeff Fisher was asked about the Patriots running backs, and he was, you know, first he was talking about LeGarrette Blount, how he, like, discovered him, like, no one knew who LeGarrette Blount was. And then he talked about Brandon Bolden and Danny Woodhead. Danny Woodhead has not been a Patriot for years. And Jeff Fisher actually praised Danny Woodhead's recent play. And for the Patriots, Danny Woodhead is on injured reserve with a torn ACL for the Chargers, and he praised Brandon Bolden, who, like, doesn't have a carry. doesn't have a carry since week four.
It's the most believable story, too.
It's still shocking to hear someone mess it up that bad. I mean, this guy is in the NFL. People who play fantasy football know more about personnel than the head coach of the Rams.
You know, and I heard some people say, oh, he said Danny Woodhead, but he meant Deion Lewis, because they both start with D. I prefer just to think that Jeff Fisher is about the dumbest person in the history of NFL coaching. I mean, Rich, can you think of a single excuse for this?
Jeff Fisher, man.
That's all I think. I think that's all we need to say. But, guys, I think that is about to wrap it up. Real quick, guy that wins the Millionaire Maker for somebody this week, Rich.
Not Brock Osweiler.
Not Brock Osweiler. All right. What about you, Evan?
Tom Savage. No, Jameson Crowder.
All right, cool. That's going to do it for us. For Evan, for Rich, I'm Eric. We'll see you guys later.